Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. You know, I hate talk radio where we just all agree all the time, particularly if it's people that we really like and have a lot of credibility, like Ray Dininger the other day about Saquon Barkley. You know, we can't all be in unison. But we had a bit of frothing at the mouth here. And the reason is because I think the system's fraudulent top to bottom. In Jersey, it made national news headline, New Jersey teachers skip literacy tests to combat shortage. That's the way it was being billed. In other words, Murphy and others passed Act 1669. This act removes the requirement for prospective teachers to pass the Praxis Core Test, which assesses basic skills in reading, writing, and math. And Dan threw a few questions at me yesterday. Elon Musk jumped in on this and said, yeah, so teachers don't need to know how to read in New Jersey. Seems that would make it challenging to teach kids how to read. Oh, man. And then Dawn Fantasia took to Twitter to set the record straight, but added several things that are interesting. We first talked with Dawn about bears in Sussex County and some of the stuff going on with bird feeders, but we also talked with her about drones, and I'm going to get an update. As predicted, no one cares about the drones anymore, even though I think they're still apparent. So let's go to Dawn here on Talk Radio 1210. Dawn, Happy New Year, and thank you for joining us as always.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'll admit, I bought into it at first glance because I thought that's what the NJEA and what New Jersey would do, and certainly Phil Murphy. You got a teacher shortage. I'm not a fan of Jim Beach over here in Camden County. So when I heard he was involved in it, I thought, oh, yeah, let's dumb it down more. You tell us, though, teachers already, those that are going to get their full-fledged, and you went through it as a teacher, Dawn, I believe, would have to prove they can read, math, and write. And you had a 12 out of 12 for the record on the writing.
Correct. You know, this whole debacle could have been easily avoided had the governor, had the bill sponsors, had the Democrat majority, hell, had even the NJEA stood up and led with, we are eliminating a duplicate test, and went that in that direction. Instead, there's radio silence out of that camp, which infuriates me. I can't help but think they feel the public doesn't need any kind of explanation. All of these headlines are flying around, and they're extraordinarily misleading. And the teachers, honestly, in the state of New Jersey, have been made to look like the village idiots across the 50 states now. So, again, to set the record straight, Praxis tests are not eliminated in New Jersey at all. Praxis is a very, very large collection of tests. And I put up an example on social media. So, for example, to teach grades kindergarten through sixth grade, every teacher has to pass a test in English, in math, in social studies, and in science. If you want to teach at the middle school level, you have to take an additional test in whatever specialized content. Mine was English, so I took 5 tests in order to be certified. If we flashed forward to 2015, because I got my certification back in 2008, if we flashed forward to 2015, I would have had to pay another $90 a piece to take another test in reading, another test in math, and another writing test. So that is what they are eliminating because it was costly, it was duplicative, and it honestly causes time. So when they say it helps us get teachers moving along quicker, there's now not an extra financial barrier, and there's not an extra time barrier for them to schedule these duplicate tests to go and take. Instead, they lead with the headline, no more basic skills tests. Instead of saying because the teachers are already taking a multitude of more difficult tests.
Right.
They left that part out conveniently.
Jess, not understandable. And Dawn, my first instinct too, I'll admit it, I just never see these people cutting out any thing that's necessary. They overregulate all the time, to your point. So why would they be cutting this out unless they're trying to squeeze people through that are unqualified? You're right. Clarifying this, and that's exactly what you did on Twitter, is the way to go. But you also then took a moment to talk about the NJEA and teachers getting evaluated. Now, you and I both share this. We've both been teachers. And sometimes these evaluations are brutal. There was one guy that evaluated in one school district in Jersey I was in, Dawn, who would take out a tape measure and be measuring the space between desks row by row while you're teaching. Or, you know, they would never come in the middle of the day. They'd always come in first period cold or last period of the day. This guy was notorious for that, you know, because he's going to make it as difficult as possible. So what are they doing with evaluation that you think is suspect?
Well, this is extraordinarily suspect. To be honest, I don't think it's suspect. I know it's suspect. First of all, Teach NJ and Achieve NJ, you know, Christie era reforms were very, very good on the whole. What they did was, you know, tenured teachers were no longer, you know, infallible. They actually could be challenged if they were not doing the proper job in the classroom. It actually put on paper what the set requirements were, and it really had a focus that you had to use an instrument that was approved by the state of New Jersey, and a lot of the instruments that were used, whether they be, there's a Charlotte Danielson model, there's a Newark model, there's all different models that you can use, a strong model that actually focuses on student performance, student academics, student growth. And an interesting piece was that student test scores were included as part of an evaluation, right? Well, there are some subjects where, let's say you're a phys ed teacher, right? So a student's English or math scores are not indicative necessarily of how you're teaching physical education. So the idea to do student growth objectives was born, where teachers and their administration would set a goal and the teacher would measure it and work towards it together, right? So be careful what you wish for, because what that led to was a lot of whining about too much paperwork. Oh, it's too hard. It doesn't really matter. Teachers are spending too much time. The teacher set the goal. The administrator set the goal. I found that to be, quite frankly, an asinine argument. I've written hundreds of SGOs along with teachers across multiple school districts. I've scored teachers on SGOs. I've written my own SGOs. So my honest opinion is that's a load of hooey. However, they want to combine now the SGO, the spirit of SGOs, with a professional development plan that's due every year by teachers. But here's the scary part. They put together a little panel, of course, packed with the NJEA and company, that analyzed what they would like to see changed. And some of the more egregious pieces were when you combine it with a professional development plan, there's no necessity to say student outcomes or student growth must be a goal in your professional development plan. So you can have it be anything. You could say, oh, I talked to parents more, I sent more emails, I was in the community more. It can completely omit student growth from an academic standpoint. But the kicker, you want the kicker. You are a teacher just like me. They want to eliminate, right now you are scored either not effective, partially effective, effective, or highly effective. They want to get rid of highly effective. And they just want to say, effective. Everybody's effective. No more highly effective, because it just makes teachers feel bad if they don't reach highly effective. They get so upset. I said, what is this, a participation trophy now? For my jaw hit the floor.
Oh, what a nugget.
Dom,
exactly. Yeah.
I don't know what these people are smoking, but we all need it, because it's the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard, the most Sally weak thing I'd ever heard in my life, and I don't like it, because, again, teachers who are repeatedly highly effective, they actually have less teacher observations now once they hit tenure. So now are you telling me that we can do less observations when everybody and their brother is, quote, effective? They are watering down.
I see that. That's what they're about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Dawn, one thing, too, to clear up without getting into the weeds, too. I'm a big fan of merit pay. I can't imagine doing it in New Jersey with the NJEA. Well, one of the things we just talked about here with student test scores that people have to understand is it's not so much what the kids in your class score, but it's where they start it and where you take them to at the end of the year. People say all the time, well, what if you have kids that were low achievers and they don't score mm-hmm. tremendously on tests? That's the right way mm-hmm. to do it if legitimate figures are there, where they start and where the teacher takes them. That's how we measure you.
That's a very positive change that happened since I've been in the classroom. When I first went in the classroom, proficiency was the be-all, end-all. So the argument was always, well, you know, you do have some teachers, let's say you deal with students with, you know, significant learning disabilities or special
right.
needs, perhaps they're English language learners. So it wasn't a level playing field. So New Jersey really did make a shift and started to put a lot of value on growth. And if you can have the students prove academic growth, but again, in typical fashion, now that's too much. Oh, how could we possibly have student growth be included in our our scoring?
That's the way to judge. But the high efficiency, I'm writing that one down. I'm going to be using that one for years. Dawn, we haven't talked with you in a while. And the drone situation, have they completely gone away? Or as we kind of predicted, they're going to wait through the holidays or until Trump is in office. Then we're going to get an answer on this. What's happened with the drones?
Let me tell you, they have not reduced in sightings. I still receive videos weekly, if not daily, from people across New Jersey. I have people reaching out to me. One of the more interesting ones that I received is somebody had observed drones and orbs out over the ocean at night, and they were in a very odd pattern. It's very, very troubling when people say they're hovering over what looks like a ship, per se. And that I'm getting more often than not. So we're still seeing them in North Jersey flying in formation in specific patterns, but I am seeing a lot more ocean activity reports. And again, I have videos sent to me, but we are getting shut down. Not a peep out of the governor's office, not a peep federally. It's almost as if they want to dissuade us from even reporting anything anymore, because they'll tell us it's an airplane or a convenience store drone or a bird or whatever.
Well, you know, the only good thing out of this, first with the nutbag stuff or the bird feeders, we got to talk with you, then the drones, and now this. You bring those school teacher things like I do to Twitter, etc. I mean, it is that report, I still have it, what you wrote about the drone conference there with the governor's representative. Yeah. I mean, there's no getting around it. We have to bottle you and then put 10 more of you out there in Jersey. So, Dawn, how do you see, we're seeing pretty good signs, and Scott Presler is our guy in Jersey. And behind the scenes, I'm seeing he's meeting already with a number of county chairs. I'm meeting with some people and him on Saturday. So I'm seeing that Republicans are coming alive here. They are inspired, and they do believe it's at least 50-50 that they can take back the state house.
Absolutely. We are excited. I actually had the pleasure of meeting him at our Sussex County GOP holiday party. I didn't realize he was coming, and I guess he was our surprise guest.
Yeah.
And he made a very, very good point, because, you know, Sussex is solidly red, you know, as a general rule. But what he was stating is when you look at the total numbers who still are not turning out to vote,
right.
you need to mobilize those red areas to get maximum voters out. At that point, we need to get new voters registered in even the red areas, because that is going to be what will be able to counteract the existing blue areas still that hang on in the state. So, you know, he had kind of a new messaging, and it was very energizing to hear and see. I mean, he's wonderful on X, where he posts play by play, right? County by county. I'm in Lucerne County. I'm in Bucks County.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm here, I'm there. It's very exciting when he is that specific, and he's very dynamic. And I think he's just what we needed to get a kick in the pants here in the GOP.
Absolutely. Well, Dawn, thank you so much. Keep us in your loop. Happy New Year again.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
All right. Dawn Fantasia here on Talk Radio 1210. No high efficiency for Jersey teachers. Wow. We were off the mark yesterday on it, going by the best evidence. And she's the one that was able to correct it, that it's more getting rid of these cash cow tests than Jersey teachers not passing tests. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Coming up, I have more from Mark Zuckerberg today. Kind of surprised by the voice and the look, too. This guy's bulked up, the jiu-jitsu, I guess, must be working. Who was he supposed to fight?
Who's that?
Was that Jake Paul? No, maybe not.
Might be.
Okay, that would be an interesting matchup. Did you think Zuckerberg's voice sounded like
Zuckerberg was supposed to fight Elon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would take Zuckerberg in this. How about you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Let's see.
Doughboy, Elon.
Yeah, let's see if, well, he'd have Ozempic by then. By the way, it's in the air, so I don't forget this. I'm looking over my Giant app for the discounts this week, and they had a dietitian special. And they're pitching that they have great dietitian services, Giant does. They're pitching, don't use those ordinary seed oil salad dressing.
See?
Seed oil. Yeah, I know. But I am going to put the brakes on of Americans wanting to blame everything on big food versus our own fallibilities, too. Big food is there, but
we don't have the option to not. You know,
well,
obliged by these big food decisions.
Go on the Giant app right now, and you will not use seed oil anymore for your salad dressing. It's right there.
All right. That's not a bad thing.
And Washington Post has a big piece up on the ultra processing. They didn't give credit to Kennedy on this, though, saying here are the ones that are at the high end, and here are the ones that are not so bad. So Kennedy's having an effect already. Let's see if I think he's going to get through. I think he's going to get a few Democrat votes. I think Fetterman's going to vote for him. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. I'll tell you who's coming up early next week, the first in line to be confirmed or not confirmed. Who are those Trump people coming up first? One of them's a biggie. 855-839-1210. All right, Dom Giordano's show. What a wild press conference with President Trump today. Media for about an hour. No handlers, nothing. No holds barred. A lot of stuff said around that. But Mark Zuckerberg, is the story of the day.
Oh, his brother?
Yeah, we played you him saying, we're not going to have the fact checkers anymore. Human bias. It's going to be community standards. Here's the second level of what he's for. I think this is the third cut in the line now. Here's what else he's going to do with Facebook.
Third, we're changing how we enforce our policies to reduce the mistakes that account for the vast majority of censorship on our platforms. We used to have filters that scanned for any policy violation. Now we're going to focus those filters on tackling illegal and high severity violations. And for lower severity violations, we're going to rely on someone reporting an issue before we take action. The problem is that the filters make mistakes, and they take down a lot of content that they shouldn't. So by dialing them back, we're going to dramatically reduce the amount of censorship on our platforms.
All right. Here's a little bit more. There's more of what they're going to do.
For a while, the community asked to see less politics because it was making people stressed. So we stopped recommending these posts. But it feels like we're in a new era now, and we're starting to get feedback that people want to see this content again. So we're going to start phasing this back into Facebook, Instagram, and Threads while working to keep the communities friendly and positive.
All right. Now, Facebook, in fairness to them, they were under fire all the way back to 2016. The Russians are Russians are Russians. Then it was during COVID. And meanwhile, we think with COVID, they went too far in censoring stuff. So the edict here is much different, much different and much more. And I think he admitted in some way, taking a look at the last election, where people are. You have one more, Dan?
Yeah, I got one more cut where he tries to take the blame off himself and put it on the government. Take a listen.
Okay.
And that's why it's been so difficult over the past 4 years when even the U.S. government has pushed for censorship. By going after us and other American companies, it has emboldened other governments to go even further. But now we have the opportunity to restore free expression, and I am excited to take it.
Well, I might differ with you a little bit. I think he's right about the Biden administration. We know that's exactly what they're doing with all kinds of threats.
I know, but accept some accountability for the way that you completely, marched to their orders.
I never thought Facebook was as much the issue, though, as was Twitter until Elon Musk. Again, they, got singed for the Russian information. During COVID, they got attacked. I think they're doing the right things here, but I don't think they were nearly as bad as Twitter was. All right, one other bit of stuff that's always fun to talk about. Any kind of food thing before I take your calls. Girl Scout cookie season starts today.
Wow.
I didn't know it.
Go.
Yes. And I tremble when I read this morning at 5 o'clock. Two cookies will be retired this year, meaning this is your last year to get to them.
Don't you dare take my Samoans away.
They're called that anymore, Dan.
Yeah, it's Girl Scout S'mores and Toast. I don't even Toast Ya, which I don't even know.
Oh, yeah. I think those were only around for like a year or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Thin Mints, to me, is the chocolate chip of Girl Scout cookies. Meaning there should be no, I can't imagine eating any other. If you said, yeah, I have that, just bring them out and just take a sleeve and just push your head back and let them go down till you can't eat anymore.
Once I agreed, but then I started getting heartburn and those things just give me heartburn now. And
so you're Samoan?
I'm Samoan, yeah.
Okay.
Soft.
So the Girl Scout cookies.
Wait, the website still has them listed as Samoas.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Back maybe they change back.
Caramel Delights / Samoas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Phasing it out.
We're so excited to kick off the Girl Scout season. And they do this, I guess, when the cookie's fading a little bit, they get one last bump out of it. But I bet Thin Mints are still the most popular, right? What's second place, though? What's a secondary cookie? What's the oatmeal raisin cookie of Girl Scout cookies? If oatmeal raisins. I can't imagine anyone listening out say, I could go for an oatmeal raisin cookie. What the heck are you thinking of? I just cannot. Now, the biggest thing that happened with Girl Scout cookies, and I didn't go back and Google her. There was a woman, she was a national psychologist or dietitian, whatever she was, went on a tirade and made a lot of news attacking Girl Scouts and Girl Scout cookies because of the hazards. Now, do I think RFK Jr. is going to do a treatise on Girl Scout cookies? I don't think so. I think he gets it. He's just going to go after big food, ultra processed, dyes, that kind of thing. Girl Scout cookies have to be pretty low on the pecking order here as far as going after people.
I mean, they do kind of taste like preservatives.
Oh, the preservatives. Well, let's talk about this preservative. How are you going to have a product on the market without some preservative in it? I mean, unless you're buying fresh right at that moment.
Well, the Paul brothers launched that knockoff Lunchable, and they had to recall them all because there was less preservatives, and a bunch of them rotted out.
With some foods, that's going to be pretty tough to deal with. I mean, I don't eat peanut butter crackers anymore because I'm afraid how long they've been in there and the preservative part. I just get it yourself and do it, but you're going to do that for everything. It's going to be fascinating to see exactly what Kennedy says. I don't think the vaccine thing is going to be the point of contention. You're going to have some weasels in these states, the agriculture states, and they don't like it that he's going after big ag, big food, and what they're doing with America's food supply. They're the ones that are going to challenge him. All right, let's go to Richard in Westchester. Richard's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Richard.
Greetings. Hi. For the question, I was a 1976 graduate of the Pennsylvania State University, and I loved Joe Paterno. In fact, that was one of the reasons why I went to Penn State for their football team. And the 80s and the 70s and the 90s were great, and Joe Paterno broke my heart completely in 2012. And yeah, all that just washed away.
That, Richard, that is a great one. I could tell you when I love Joe Paterno, but when they were just an independent in the East, they murdered teams. And then when they moved into the Big Ten or started playing a pretty tough schedule, do you remember a linebacker? Was it LeVar Arrington?
Yes, number 11.
Well, as soon as he went there, I thought, uh-oh. Not that he did anything criminal, but that this is where we're going with players. Remember, at one point, they truly did have great students, concert pianists, all that at Penn State. And then Joe was going to continue to win. And it's hard to blame him, but I never thought he'd end up the way that he did.
I mean, Penn State was always on the pedestal of a way an athletic program should be run. And they had that facade up for all those years. And then 2012, he completely shattered it. It was all that work was down the drain.
What's the motivation, though, if they had come clean on Jerry Sandusky and said, we caught him, and that's it? Why would they, what were they thinking they would suffer? Or were they so arrogant, so big at that point, they thought, we'll just tough it out?
Look at the world today. Hubris has brought down so many people. And I define hubris as outrageous arrogance. And basically, you look at all Trudeau, hubris, all these big shots, hubris brought them all down. It brought empires down, and it's bringing them down too, thank goodness.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah, I would say that's a great one. Joe Paterno, Dan Head Stern at a certain point, all good ones. 855-839-1210, get on board AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push #1210. This will be cut 12. In fact, is this, I see it's kind of dark, YouTube?
We'll have that on YouTube as well,
Coming up?
Right now.
Okay, tell people where they can go watch on YouTube, too, if they can get to
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT, a fantastic skit. And what I want to point out, Dom, is on this skit, it's like what I wish SNL were. And it's not even that funny. It's just slightly funnier than the other.
The guy that's playing Trump doesn't even look remotely like him, but it's such a bad wig, it gets your attention right away.
Mr. President, I must admit I was worried that you were going to try to humiliate me.
I would never embarrass you, Justin. Are you kidding me?
Thank you, Donald.
Now I want to see you eat it.
Excuse me? The hamburger.
The Big Mac, the president of all burgers. I'm going to make you eat it like a dog with no hands.
Mr. President, I have self-respect.
Not so much, to be honest. I mean, he came like a dog, didn't he? He really did.
Mon ami, I come to you not on bended knee, but as an equal.
30% tariff.
My father taught me to
50% tariff.
We Canadians are a hearty lot.
60% tariff.
For Canada! I'm a hungry little puppy. I'm so hungry for my puppy chow.
All right, that's enough, Justin. I won't impose a tariff. I can't. I'm not even the president yet, am I? What a loser. Now let's DJ.
It's fun to stay at the YMCA. All right, the Trump guy, really good. Even the wig and the whole, I still don't understand the Canadians, how this guy became the president, the leader. It just doesn't fit my image of Canada. But there's a critical mass of people that like it. At some point, we'll play you the guy that might be the new leader. And this guy has a Newt Gingrich quality about him where he eats an apple as he's talking to a reporter. Well, let's play him right now. He's eating an apple. And this reporter, I don't think is that pushy, but he's asking him questions to try to pin him down. Doesn't like it that he's conservative. And the way the guy pushes back is very reminiscent, even more aggressive, Newt Gingrich. Here's how it sounded.
On the topic, I mean, in terms of your sort of strategy currently, you're obviously taking the populist pathway.
What does that mean?
well, appealing to people's more emotional levels, I would guess. I mean, certainly you tap very strong ideological language quite frequently.
Like what?
Left wing, you know, this and that, right wing, you know, I mean, it's that type of ideological thing.
I never really talk about left
but
or right.
Anyways,
I don't really believe in that.
Okay. A lot of people would say that you're simply taking a page out of the Donald Trump book.
Like, which people would say that?
Well, I'm sure a great many Canadians, but...
Like who?
I don't know who, but...
Well, you're the one who asked the question, so yeah. You must know somebody.
Okay. I'm sure there's some out there, but anyways, the point of this question is, I mean, why should Canadians trust you with their vote, given, you know, not just the sort of ideological inclination in terms of taking the page of Donald Trump's book, but also...
What are you
also,
talking about? What page? What page? Can you give me a page? Give me the page. You keep saying
In terms of turning things quite dramatically in terms of Trudeau and the left wing and all of this, I mean, you make quite a, you know, it's quite a play that you make on it. So I'm
not sure. I don't know what your question
okay.
is.
Okay, then forget that.
This is a more passive-aggressive Newt Gingrich and Gingrich. And this guy is the odds-on guy to be the next leader. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get in. Give me somebody or something that you really looked up to, really disappointed in some way, shape, or form. That's what we're looking for. Hey, looking to achieve your health goals and start New Year's right? Well, now's the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy levels, and more with Rescue Natural Supplements with their New Year's savings. Rescue is celebrating you. Save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements with code HEALTH. Use the code HEALTH35, H-E-A-L-T-H-3-5. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart health, Rescue Probiotic for better digestion, or Rescue Orazine for more energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Start your journey to better health today. Use that code HEALTH35. Again, save 35% on all single supplements with the code HEALTH35. Don't wait. Make this new year your best yet with Rescue. All right, time to your Dano show, 855-839-1210. Jeff Van Drew coming up at 2 o'clock. He's the new head of the Oversight Committee of the Judiciary and all that mumbo-jumbo. It's an important post. This guy is right inside where we want him. And Linda Kearns, we didn't get a chance to thank her yesterday on Certification Day for her role in it. She's got something new, too, that she's working on that I'll ask her about. Biden now is in talks for a prisoner swap with the Taliban. Does it ever end? And what he did here with these prisoners at Gitmo, just sending them back to the Middle East, 11 of them. It's stunning to me that we can't somehow or another get thoughtful people together and rather quickly. I realize this is a constitutional matter, but I think the American people would vote 90-10 with some thoughtful restraints on the nonsense that presidents can do toward the tail end of their term. It's not just the pardons, it's the shuffling of people and the stuff that he's doing that are just outright, even for the Bidens, who are just a miserable, miserable group. And he's not coming up with all these ideas necessarily. He's just saying, yeah, let's do it. God only knows between now and Election Day. Could it be that far away still? All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board. Got a lot of response, a lot of emails, too. Yeah, call in on it, too. This story, J.D. Mullane in the Bucks County Courier-Times today, because there was a $720,000 sale of a Leavitt townhouse, breaking records, etc. And he went through, and Dan even looked at some of the real estate that's out there, that you can't touch homes, even some that really need work, by and large. in the $400,000 range, meaning the average person living in the Levittown developments and all that, J.D. Moyne says, could not afford the mortgage, qualify for it, that you would need to get one of those homes today. A lot of reasons, or at least a few big ones, but Biden and inflation's got to be near the top. They say in Bucks County, very hard to get a quality home of any sort unless it's in that price range. Well, how many people are going to be able to afford that? And the answer is they're not. So what are they going to have to keep on doing? A number of them are going to have to keep on renting unless Trump untangles this in some way, shape, or form, say, within the first year. Trump talked today a lot about energy. That'll be a key to doing this. And look, he's got to say it. But what Biden put into play on the way out, no drilling in various areas, offshore, et cetera, is not going to be easy. It's going to take a while. And Biden knows that. This miserable little man and his family and his advisors sticking it to middle-class America, making it harder for Trump to generate energy, which will be one of the biggest things that will start us to actually remove the caked on inflation. Not the rate that may go down or has gone down. It's inflation itself, where prices are. Energy is a large measure toward that. Trump also today talked about, again, this guy and his advice, he's signing off on it, whether he's able to do it or not, going after water heaters, gas-powered, essentially, that they have to be electric, they have to meet other standards. Toward what point? So a bunch of people can get a gold star, who this doesn't put a dent in their life or their income. Why do this to the average American? Because that's what they're about. That's what they're going to continue to do. And their strategy is going to try to masquerade. They haven't changed. They're not going to change. They don't want to change. Their strategy is going to try to mask all this as long as they can. That's why guys like Josh Shapiro are so dangerous. He's every bit of that ilk, but he's better at masking it. And we talked today a little bit with Beth Ann Rossica about this bill that we've talked about, the Fairness in Sports Act for women in Pennsylvania. The federal government says, Biden even, you can do what you want in this. So why is Pennsylvania continuing to do this? Because they're intransigent. Because this is the one issue they're not going to back down on. And I'm hoping ultimately this will topple them in Pennsylvania. All right, let's go to Chris in Malvern. Chris, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Chris, good afternoon.
Apparently, Ted Turner, it's been reported last couple of days, he's basically on death's doorstep. And of course, being the original creator of CNN, they're going to be back in the news big time. And of course, my heart went cold on CNN a long time ago, especially by the time of President Trump's first election. But during the entire arc of my Army years, starting during the first administration of Ronald Reagan, I revered CNN. I mean, Bernard Shaw and the rest of them, they were without question. I can think of so many different events, like when the Korean Airlines 007 was shot down. Mm-hmm. And we went on DEFCON. We went on alert for 7 straight days, and we'd get breaks, and we'd come back for information, and it was CNN, and then Tiananmen Square, and then finally, remember the reporting of the Scud attacks during Desert Shield.
Gulf War. They were proud. Yes, and they were the ones who captured international news, without a doubt.
And it just breaks my heart sometimes to think, you know, how I feel about them now.
That's a good one. Thank you, Chris. That was a really passionate call. Somebody in the military around, he's right about CNN at one point. I know it's hard to believe, but yeah, they had international news. They captured international news. And Bernard Shaw ousted, he didn't mean to necessarily, Michael Dukakis, during the presidential debate when he said to him, well, what if your wife and daughter were raped and killed? Would you still not be for the death penalty? And Dukakis, instead of saying, look, I would try to be for the death against the death penalty, but you're right. As a father, as a husband, as all that, deep in my heart, would want to kill him myself. He didn't. He just said, no, I still would be against the death penalty. So he's right about CNN. I know it's hard to believe now, but he's right overall. It's a good call. All right, 855-839-1210. That's the side question today. You can get in. By the way, who is it that Will Bunch and other progressives are blaming for the Biden failures? Merrick Garland. They're saying Merrick Garland was too even-handed, did not go after Trump hard enough or early enough or something. My God, if you think Merrick Garland as attorney general was even-handed, this is what they're reduced to. This is what they're reduced to blaming. Yeah, he let Hunter Biden down too. My God. All right, 855-839-1210. Get in with Dom on Talk Radio 1210.
Running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan Todd.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody says.
With Dom.
No, apparently I cannot handle things because it is Dan time with Dom. We're back in the new year, and Dom, I want to play back some audio from a friend of the show, Bill Maher, who brought on John Cryer. John Cryer, known as Ducky in Pretty in Pink. Yeah, but Two and a Half Men, starring alongside now Ashton Kutcher. Well, recently Ashton Kutcher. It's been off for like 10 years, but Charlie Sheen as well.
Yeah.
So Ducky sat down with Bill Maher and refuses to accept the reality of the election, Dom, and I want your thoughts on what it was the determining factor as to how the election was won by the Trump team. Take a listen as Bill Maher and John Cryer get into it a little bit.
But I don't know. Sometimes people say things that trigger me.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we just had the election, and I feel like my conscience is very clear. I warned everybody about Trump, and then I warned them that I warned them about what would get him reelected, which was stupid wokeness, which is what got him reelected. So I feel my conscience is very clear that I told you and I told you and I told you, and I lost fans for it. You know, lots of the super woke that, like, I'm not woke enough for them. Yeah, but like, I think I had it right. Like, that kind of stuff is what lost the election for the Democrats. It's in all.
Maybe part of it?
Oh, you think it sounds good so far, right? I mean, that's a fair assessment by Bill, right? Wokeness was a large part of them losing
and
the election.
Cryer's saying maybe part of it.
Listen to Cryer's response. Here you go.
Election for the Democrats. It's in all.
Maybe part of it? I don't know. I think a lot.
They have polling on it.
I think it's inflation. I think Americans hate inflation.
That's certainly
what they hate. Inflation.
Of it.
They hate riots. And they hate black women.
I'm going to stop it right there, Don. Ducky thinks that Kamala lost the election because America hates black women.
That's where we're going
to
go.
Has nothing to do with wokeness. In fact, it's the opposite. We aren't woke enough. Let's continue.
They hate trans people.
Oh, God, John, we're not going to.
Dude, they just spent hundreds of millions of dollars demonizing
black
trans people. And that
here we go.
We shouldn't talk politics.
Okay, we shouldn't. Great. We don't have to.
No. And this, you know, I mean, I have this kind of relationship with people on the right also who like, yeah, it's just going to take so long to even have this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I want, just like I would like to deprogram them, I feel like there's things that don't get in your bubble on the left that I would love to deprogram, but it's probably not the place to do it. But
you can try.
This is a thing you hear often from people on the left, especially progressives, who seem to be unplugged about the whole election, that it wasn't wokeness that won it. They can double down on the wokeness that they really want. DEI, why not continue down that path? It was because America, Dom, is racist and hates trans people.
Yeah, I think they believe that deep down. On the trans issue, $35 million. I was on that early on. Effectively used in ads on women against men in sports. And the Kamala Harris, yeah, we're going to have gender-affirming care for illegal aliens in prison here, and taxpayers are going to pay for it. Yeah, people are dead set against that. But the first thing he said, I still believe, inflation in the end, people looked at it and said, no more. We're not putting up with this. Trump is going to come back. We have, in the next hour, some sound from Kornacki over at NBC, MSNBC, breaking down how historic it was, Trump reaching African Americans and Hispanics. Now, that can't be explained away. And also, John Fetterman. Look, I think if you just feel you're superior as a conservative to say, well, I'm not going to acknowledge any of this. I'm not buying into John Fetterman. I still don't like him. And I'm not buying into any metamorphosis of John Fetterman. But he is a contrarian to a lot of Democrats. He is, and this is going on right now, he sponsored, the first Democrat sponsor of the Laken Riley Act in the Senate. They're voting on it today. I'm predicting Madeline Dean, the Dean of Decency, and Mary Gay Scanlon, her partner in crime, will vote against it. What it does is it will ensure detention and deportation of criminal aliens before they can commit heinous crimes like the killing and attempted rape of Laken Riley. And Fetterman sponsored it. So, you know, when someone is doing something that you approve of, what's the loss to acknowledging that? We're not gushing. Would I bring Fetterman on the show? Yes. I'm trying to get him on the show. Now, there might be an eruption there at a certain point. You know, I have to have Dan step in. Well, maybe Henry. I'm not sure. Dan's about his
they,
life.
They already turned me down. I mean, we can always try again, but...
Oh, they did? They just said no? Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, flat no.
Can I just play one more clip from the Bill Maher interview with John Cryer, Ducky, from Pretty in Pink? Tom, they get into immigration, which turns into a conversation about, again, wokeness and the left's thoughts, especially on the issue of Muslims in Europe and the way that they treat women. And John Cryer, when Bill Maher goes down the path of how Muslims treat women, how it goes counterintuitive to what is said by the woke crowd about feminism and such, John retorted with this, but Bill Maher has one of the best burns I've heard in a while. Take a listen.
One could argue that that women don't have the freedom to dress where they are in
to
dress how they want to dress in many places. They used to get catcalled all the time. They used to.
You know, there was, used to.
Well,
we're talking about now.
Well,
yeah, used to. A lot of used to happen, but what's going on now in the world? Would you really want to have your wife live in Gaza or any? Well, place where no, well, I mean before
war torn strip of
no,
desert.
No, even before, no, even before the war, you know, where she would have to cover up.
Well, again, that's not. I don't live there. I'm not. It's not my culture. You know.
And you won't judge it.
I'm not going to judge it. No. But again,
see,
this is not
crazy
a...
woke to me.
Okay.
That's where it all went off the rails when we became so tolerant that we tolerate intolerance. I mean, you would never allow something like that to happen in this country. If they proposed a law tomorrow at the LA City Council, women have to cover their face when they go out. I assume you'd be against that.
Well, yes, I would.
It's just fantastic to hear. It's just fantastic to hear.
I would add to that. And, you know, and I thought, I don't know if Maher would fully agree. I think he would. Yeah, he would agree. But we know him enough to say, look, when you try to say in this country, I support, and I think most people should support, the right of women that are Muslim, one way or another, to cover up whatever they want. But that doesn't stop me from saying, in my view, that diminishes women. That's what it's about. Not by law. They choose to do it. I still have the right to say, yeah, you're diminished by that. It's diminishing you. That's exactly what it's about. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to do it. Knock yourself out. But do I think that's feminism? I can't see any way that that's feminism. No way. It's built upon something that's false. All right, coming up, the great Jeff Van Drew is with us to talk a number of things, including a promotion he just got here on Talk Radio 1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.